If you want to say congratulations to Gerry Cullinan and to Dave Sheehan and everybody in Ballygunner, text us in now, please, because we're going to be chatting to the two gentlemen. They're here in front of me. Dave, chairperson of Ballygunner GA, good morning.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks very much for coming into us. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Gerry Cullinan, good morning.
Good morning yourself.
Club president, and thank you very much again for coming in. Both of you looking very well and nice and relaxed. And I suggested this last week, Dave, and I said I'd give it a little bit of time to calm down. I know some of the players went to Undangin there on Saturday. It was fabulous, a great idea. And we're celebrating the recent success, All-Ireland Senior Hurling Club Champions. Dave, what does it mean to you?
Damien, it's hard to put into words what it actually means, not only to me, like as a member of the club, but also to the players themselves, because it's probably a testament to the effort that they've put in, not just in the last year, but in the last 5, 6, 7 years that they've put in into this to make this happen. I suppose if you were to ask me one of the highlights of it, like apart from lifting the cup itself, was on Monday when we went back to the school in Ballygunner, it just would bring tears to a stone to see the sea of black and red inside in the school. The work that Killian and all his team did there, for not only after the event but before the event, the whole school was just decked out in black and red. And the players were just in absolute awe of it when they went in and saw the response that they got.
They did. And a special mention, again, we do it every week and most days for our local newspapers, News and Star, Munster Express, Dungarvan Leader, Dungarvan Observer, the two-page supplement and spread within the News and Star. I have it open in front of me here now at the minute. And Peter Hogan there, Ballygunner joint captain with former school secretary Anne Queeley. We've got Ballygunner teacher Conor Sheehan with his class and the All-Ireland Cup and all the young boys and girls as well. Gerry, as club president, what does this mean for you?
So it means everything, Damien. As Dave said, it's if you think back, I mean, I think back when I came into the club many, many years ago, there was only one person in the club who always had the idea, that was Pat O'Sullivan. Ballygunner were going to win an All-Ireland. Nobody believed him. Actually, some people believed him some of the time, but nobody believed him all the time. But even on years when we were beaten early on in the championship, in the Waterford Championship, he still believed it. And I think that spirit that Pat had, obviously he had a number of grandsons playing on the team, and it's no wonder, that I suppose was always there. And then some people began to believe. We go back to the early 2001 when the first Munster was won after many years of trying. Then it took another 17 years to win a second one. And then obviously there was a great bunch of players playing at that time. And they improved, I suppose, from then until now to win the first All-Ireland 4 years ago, which was absolutely magnificent. And I suppose really, a lot of people in Ballygunner thought, we've won one, and really, isn't that a great achievement? Maybe that's it, because we're not really used to winning a lot in our county, and it's a long time since the county won an All-Ireland, the All-Ireland senior champion, 1959. So to win a second one with basically the same group of players, a few retired and a few new lads came in, was unbelievable, and it's really fantastic to have a second one.
It really is. Dave, I know there's a lot of people to thank, and we will thank some of the people there now in a minute, but that final whistle, when the final whistle blew, and I was up there with you as well, and I know a lot of the players personally, but as a chairperson, there's a lot of chairpersons and a lot of committee members from different organisations listening this morning, and they know the feeling of winning a junior title or a senior or whatever the case may be, but when something comes to fruition and that final whistle blows, it's magical.
Yeah, it's just a sense of euphoria. It's a sense of achievement. It beggars belief that they can actually do it a second time in the space of 4 years. But to be honest with you, Damien, I can't praise the players enough for the commitment, the enthusiasm, for the energy that they've given to this club over the last number of years. And it obviously peels off into the Waterford scenario as well. But this year alone, if you just take it, like, I mean, we were successful in Ireland this year in on three occasions. Number one is our Fela team, under 15 team, won the Fela this year. Followed on shortly after that by our minor team, our county minor team, won the All-Ireland. And now Ballygunner comes along and win a second club All-Ireland. And hopefully now that we can actually achieve that other dream that we all want to achieve, and that's win a county All-Ireland. We've a lot of work done and a lot to do, but I think really, to be honest with you, that has to be the goal, has to be the vision, and I think what Gerry said earlier on was so true. I think without that vision of winning or that vision of reaching out to where you want to get to, you'll never get there unless you do that, and that's what this group of players did.
And one of the reasons, again, I wanted to do this is because this transcends just sports. When you do those false things on the radio, the exclamation marks that people can't see. Because it's a community, it's people's lives, it's fundraising, it's all different aspects. It's other clubs are wondering, how do Ballygunner do it? Can we learn from them, you know? And that's what I want you to tell me this morning.
Well, the funny thing about this, Damien, and I've read a lot of narratives around the whole thing, but the reality is there's a few key stats that I think people should realise, and it's really important as well, is that if you take it, like, Ballygunner has only two feeder schools. It's the Gael School and St Mary's National School. And of the 37 that was in the panel of that, bar four of them, every one of them attended Ballygunner National School. So there's 89% of all the people attended the National School. But when you look at the player profile there afterwards, it's even more startling, because there's 31% of all the players, their father actually played for Ballygunner. And if you go further, 37%, their grandfather actually played for Ballygunner. And if you push the last step out of the way, then it's about a relative. Like, I mean, when you look at all the players, did any of their relatives play for Ballygunner? There's a staggering 83% of all the players had a relative that played for Ballygunner. So it's a community that's in Ballygunner. And like, I've heard people talk about, like, the population of Ballygunner being so big and all that, and an explosion of population. I don't buy that. If that's the case, other towns, big villages should be winning Club All-Irelands, but they're not.
Tramore
is an example. The first people I would like to really thank in respect of all of this is the juvenile coaches. I mean, they give up their times of a Saturday and at least once or twice during the week to bring those players up to the school, up to the hurling pitch rather, and literally try their trades there and bring them up to where they want to get. And obviously success breeds success. But if I'm a firm believer in respecting our history. And if you look back what our forefathers did back in the day and made sure that the hurling pitch was right beside the school, for argument's sake, like, the kids now can go across into our pitch at lunchtime with no loss of time and get started in the hurling perspective, and then they're moved on then into the club then where the juvenile coaches take on the work, and then obviously move it then into the senior levels. And I can remember myself back in when Pádraig Manny was only 6 years of age, and bringing him up to the field and starting him there. And here am I now talking about the same man winning a second Club All-Ireland. It's just off the scale. It's so important for us, and it's so important just to see that development of him as a player, but also as a person.
Yeah. Those figures are very important that Dave has just put there in front of us, Gerry, because some people would talk about the parish rule. They talk about Ballygunner taking players from other areas. Like, in your experience, Gerry, Ballygunner has always been about families.
That's right, Damien. And even going back to the very beginning, before the club was formed, the basis of the formation of the club was in the school in Ballygunner, when Mr. McGinn came from Dundalk and became, first of all, the teacher in the school and subsequently principal. And that was the way the club started. And even in 1954, the four officers of the club were all 18 years of age, you know, at that time. And since then, the foundation has always been with the youth. When Mr. McGinn was close to death, he passed on the message to Pat O'Sullivan. One message for him: look after the juveniles. And that was Pat Sullivan's mantra all through the years. And that's what we have continued to do. And as Dave said, we look after the juveniles and the work that's done. Now, we are fortunate, I suppose, in Ballygunner, being in the city, that people come in and from other parts of just the county, other parts of the country, people who have a hurling background and get involved in the club, as they do, you know, when people move into any urban area. But we're also lucky to have that. But even more important, now you go back to the 90s when we won five Waterford championships in the 90s and then a Munster club. But so many of those players, when they retired, started coaching the young people. People like Stephen Frampton, Billy O'Sullivan, Fergal Hartley, Rory O'Sullivan, a number of those. And now you have a continuation of that. I was just looking at some of the head coaches of the underage squads in Ballygunner. You have the likes of Pat Aron, Andy Maloney, Cormac Lapthorn, Noel Power, all fellas who played, say, 20 years ago. They're now involved. And that, I mean, I could go on and on with all of those, even involvement with the team that played the other week. You know, Fergal Hartley being involved in it, Paddy O'Sullivan, you know, fellas who played and then gave their services back to the club. And, you know, I think that's why the club is successful, because the emphasis has always been on the youth. And as Dave said, the proximity of the school with the club is so, so important. I know of many clubs, and the difficulty is the school might be even a mile away. Like, it's lovely for them to walk straight in from the school into the club.
And the school as well has to be invested in this project, physically, emotionally, mentally. The teachers have to say, hurling is part and parcel of your education, in the broad sense.
That's correct.
It has to be.
And even beyond, after Jimmy McGinn, you had great people, great teachers in the school, like Jim Hennessy, and then Derek O'Neill. And now you have, we have obviously Mr. Sheehan, Conor Sheehan there, Tom O'Sullivan, Neil Kerwin, you know, all fellas who played teaching in the school. Isn't that fantastic?
I remember Fan Larkin for Kilkenny, the great Kilkenny hurler, talking to him one day about hurling in Kilkenny. It's around 20 years ago. And he said, you have to get it into the schools. You have to keep it going in the schools. 5, 6, 7 years of age. That's where it's at, particularly with hurling. Yeah. Because of the nature of the game, you have to do it then. Would you agree, Dave?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that if you can see the work that's been done, and last year the school in Ballygunner won the schools in the football and the hurling. Mm. So it just goes to show you like what can be achieved. Like, I mean, and Ballygunner is not a football club, it is a hurling club. But still, the teachers in the school are prepared to give the effort into the GAA and respect to that. And you get it back, Damien, you get it back tenfold. And it's just bigger than it's the social skills that these young people gain along the way. And they're bringing with them for the rest of their lives. And all we've ever asked any of the young people there is to be the best person that they can actually be themselves, both on the field and off the field. And you try and nurture that sense of belonging to the Ballygunner environment and Ballygunner community that we're trying to achieve.
0833 333 975. A special mention to Lillian as well. We're going to talk more in a second. Stay with us. 333 3 975. We have Gerry Cullinan, who is the president of Ballygunner GAA, and Dave Sheehan, who is the chairperson of Ballygunner GAA. Lots of nice texts coming in. The late Jim O'Keefe must never be forgotten, a Ballygunner man, says Matt. Thank you, Matt, for that. I want to give a special mention to Paul Foley as well, an old colleague of mine as well, in terms of Ballygunner and Galtier, and thinking of Paul. And I know when victories happen, people think about people that have passed on and others. Some lovely photos in the papers there as well. A special mention as well to Vinnie Connors and Tony Cummins, and I met Mick Hearn there the other day before the match. So many great players there. What can other clubs learn from this, Dave? Because we hear other clubs, whether it be Mount Sion or De La Salle, and it may be a bit of jealousy. They could be saying, the players, they hoover up players from other areas. Mm-hmm. They've so much money. There's all these sort of myths that are going around. Like, how would you respond if you're chatting to different people from different clubs? What would you have to say to them?
Yeah, I think, Damien, to be honest with you, it's you have to look after the youth. If you don't spend time and energy and effort with the youth, and I think Gerry made the point there, and we've made it a point as well, is that a lot of our senior players, when they move on, they don't, like in some clubs, the senior players move on and then that's it, they don't play hurling or don't come back into the club. But what you have in Ballygunner is people that move on and they just reinvest their time they got so much out of the game while they're in Ballygunner that they reinvest their time come back to them. And I've always said to them along the way, like, I mean, we are but custodians of this great club. We are but custodians of the jersey. And it's our responsibility then to nurture it, to bring it forward, and to make sure that we hand it over to the next generation of Ballygunner people, whether that be from a minister point of view or whether that be playing point of view, in a better condition than when we got it ourselves.
Money must come into it though as well. Like the financing committee within Ballygunner, the auditorium, the wonderful playing facilities that the O'Sullivans were involved in, the fundraising and all that. You know, there are aspects there that other clubs wouldn't have the same, I suppose, supports behind the scenes.
Well, that may be the case, but I mean, in our case, for argument's sake, and I suppose it's an ideal opportunity this occasion now to just thank a few of our sponsors. I mean, we have been very lucky with STS, Richie Hogan. They have been phenomenal sponsors for us, and even up to the All-Ireland final this year, he reached out again and gave us more support in respect of it. And I want just to acknowledge Richie in particular and STS for the support that they gave us. In addition to that as well, Richard Strapp then with the Whitewater Group came on board this year with the Juvenile Club and has made a huge contribution in providing us with finances to keep that part of it going. And then in the last number of years, we've had Sport Direct and Sharon Lancaster has been very good to us as well in trying to keep it going. And then locally then, Grantown Nurseries and David Currid has been phenomenal in the last number of years. But apart from that then, there's many other sponsors who have put their hand in their pocket and made it all happen for us. And would, like, I said it on the homecoming and I say it here to you again, Damien, without their support, we just wouldn't survive. Yes, we have lovely facilities and all up there, but I mean, we still have a big debt that we have to pay off. And again, I'm indebted to all the people who are involved in our 365. And each and every day that our executive meeting meet, that's the first thing, to make sure, are we financially stable to keep going in respect of it? And on this occasion, you might have seen where a lot of the other clubs in the Munster did the GoFundMe. We thought about that and we said, no, I'd like that. We wanted to reach out to our own sponsors and other people within our own community to see what they're able, and the response has been phenomenal, and I just want to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
Gerry, what would you have to say to other clubs that are jealous of Ballygunner?
Well, just to go back to the finance part.
Yes, please do.
Damien, I think as well as that, before Richie Hogan came in with the STS, Eddie Welsh was the man in STS. And Eddie was fantastic for years. Yeah. And before, we even had George Corbett sponsoring us previous to that. But in relation to the building, as we call the arena, now, that was Pat O'Sullivan's idea back around 2005, 2006. And again, people thought, no way could it come to fruition. But at that time, we had got some grants from the Sports Capital Programme, yeah, as other clubs did, but Ballygunner always made sure, and Charlie Lapthorne had played a big part in that, to make sure that we got grants, and they were usually small grants, but they were always invaluable. But when the arena was just a thought, we applied for very much more substantive grants. And for the first 2 years, we got quite an amount, which succeeded in making phase one and then phase two, yeah, up to standard. Then that was around 2008. And then, as we all know, came the crash. So we were stuck then. So what did we have to do? We had no option but to borrow money. And luckily enough, through our treasurer, Liam Murphy, and a clubman who happened to be involved with a bank, Eugene Duggan, it was nearly impossible to get a loan, yeah, yeah, at that stage, yeah, but we succeeded in getting a loan. Yeah. And why did we succeed in getting it is because the members of the club decided, well, through Liam Murphy, I suppose, instigation, to make sure that the money was there. So this is when Dave called it the 365. Yeah. It was originally called the Development Project, where people guarantee that they would pay. At that time, it was €6 a week. Then it became €7 subsequently. So that's why it was €365 a day. And that satisfied the bank. And and for that reason, then, the loan was given, and the club has been exceptionally prudent in securing that loan and then in servicing it. With the result that when other developments came, maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, for example, the floodlighting of the back pitch, which proved to be so invaluable, then a subsequent loan was taken out. And again, that's being serviced successfully. So that is very, very important. As regards the, you know, what we say to other clubs, I think really the team that played and that won the All-Ireland, the sacrifices they made, the training they did was absolutely out of this world. They were really fantastic. Everyone could see what they have been doing. Certainly their lifestyle had to change. Their training was exemplary. They obviously had great coaches. Down the years, for a number of years, we had David Franks with Darragh O'Sullivan. And of course, the man who I suppose would be the most inspiring person in the whole club, Shea Fitzpatrick. And then, of course, when Shea and Darragh and David Franks stepped down, thanks to Dave and his committee, they got Jason Ryan and Darragh Mulcahy.
And I know you've got some brilliant notes there. We won't have time to get through everything and mention some of them, but the fact of getting Jason in and picking somebody like Jason, big call, Dave.
It was a big call. It was a big call for both Jason and for ourselves because, like, I can't speak highly enough of the contribution of Darragh and David Franks and Shea Fitzpatrick, the three of them in particular. The work that they were doing logistically, then Michael Power was behind the scenes and he was carrying the bag the whole time with the hurling balls and everything else. So if you take those four people and the four people deciding and the one time to go. I know I was talking to some other chairmen around the county, and they were saying, well, this gives us an opportunity. And then you come along and you bring along a fella who has really very little proven record as regards hurling, but a massive proven record as regards team building and his work around football and high performance and all of that. and to call it Jason Ryan and bring Jason Ryan on board at the same time as Darragh Mulcahy was coming on board as well for the S&C part of it, it was a big call. And I've no doubt in my mind, and I tell you one thing, there was a number of times during the year where I was wondering was it the right decision or not. But to
the
be
last
honest
few
with you,
minutes against the De La Salle, I'll tell you, if that had gone the other way.
Yeah, well, I have to say to you, he was a born leader of men, and that's the best description I can of him, because his ability to be able to communicate with all those young and old and keep that whole team together. Didn't matter once he had his squad picked, that was it. You were part of that squad, he really and truly put his whole heart and soul into it, and he was phenomenal for the whole year. And I'd say the players would say that, because I was talking to one of the players, and he said this year I really enjoyed going to training, and I went home from training with a smile on my face. And you can't ask any more than that.
I've spoken to Jason a few times, I know him personally, and congratulations to him. And I heard a little chat with him where he was talking about that and how he changed a little bit again, working on the work that Darragh and all the others have done beforehand, but just changed things a little bit and involved players and contributions and stuff. And it's only a manager with a nice confidence and a nice way about him, a lovely chap as well, a really nice guy. And then the backroom team, it's who you put in place, and you have the different things. It's run like a county team, like it's a really good county team.
Well, that was one of the things that Jason came to me afterwards when he was Nolent in charge, and he couldn't believe that we had people, three or four fellas, and I talk about Joey Troy, I talk about Keggs Field, and I talk about Peter Ormond, who spent every night preparing. So when he walked out on the pitch was lined, it was ready to go, hurling balls were there, and the team just came out and just played on. And I know that, every member of that team would be hugely complimentary of what's done. Then you had Murray Phelan, who comes along and hands out the jerseys every day, has the water ready for them, has the Gatorade ready for them, never misses a training session he's probably better than your forecaster, because he's able to tell us exactly what way the wind will be blowing and whether it'll be raining or not. And now we discovered a new skill as well. He's a bus driver, so he's a phenomenal man in respect of. But the reality is, that was the one thing that Jason said. He said, I could not believe, he says, the number of backroom people that are prepared to give of their time in the furtherance of hurling for Ballygunner. Yeah. It's just a phenomenal
trait. Yeah. Again, the lads, it has to be done on the field, the ball has to be put over the bar or put in the net, but all those things lead to it. And again, for some other clubs, and listening to this, and I'd say there's a lot of people listening to this, they're saying, how are we going to beat Ballygunner? You know, what's the point in training when they're so strong? And I say that with the greatest of respect for ye and for them.
Yeah, but Damien, like, I hate to use the word, it's nearly like a religion, but it's our DNA. It's what makes us what we are. It's, you know, there's nobody excluded from the club. Anybody that wants to get involved in the club are willing to get involved in the club. At times we're struggling for volunteers, but if you look at the volunteers that we have in the club, both and I'm talking again, going back to from going into the schools, coming out of the schools, the juveniles that's involved, people that give of their time, even around security around the place and all of that, like it, opening, closing gates, it's unbelievable. And to that, I'm eternally grateful. And we're constantly trying to get extra people to come involved in as well to keep the one step ahead of the posse.
Yep. I've lists here of all the different, since 2014, the different finals you've won and all the different things. There's too many to go through now, but it's phenomenal. Like in 2025, Ballygunner won 5 out of the 8 adult titles and reached 9 finals in club hurling in Waterford available to them. Phenomenal, Gerry.
It is, Damien. Yeah, it is.
And well done. It's a testament to you.
It is. But it's hard work.
Is primarily
responsible. Yeah, and hard sacrifices.
Work.
Yeah.
Well, there's two elements of them. I mean, there's the management end of it from a club perspective and all that. And again, I want to reach out to my own executive as well, because, like, you just it doesn't just happen. Like, you know, it's the management side of it. It has to keep going, because that's the heart of the beat of the whole lot of it. But at the end of the day, what's your raison d'etre? Our raison d'etre is to play hurling. Our raison d'etre is to be the best county in the best club in Ireland, and we're moving in that direction in the context of that. Like, and then ironically, it's very funny, because I was listening to a podcast the other day where it said that in 2001, when we won our first Munster final, Philip Manny was in 6th class and Parry was in 5th class in Ballygunner. And now look what's happening 17 years later. Look where they are. It's just phenomenal.
The big news this week is that Ballygunner is putting in a second team into the Senior Hurling Championship. Ballygunner is set to field 2 teams in Waterford Senior Hurling Championship, correct?
Well, it's not a case of Ballygunner fielding 2 teams. It's because of the fact that we won the Premier Intermediate. And there's a rule within the county that whereby the winners of the Premier Intermediate have to go senior.
Yeah.
So yes, that's going to happen this year. Probably be only 1 year effort, but we are going to field a second team this year, and we have worked tirelessly with the county board and with GA headquarters as well to make sure that's going to be an achievable feat for the day, and it's going to be a major challenge for us, because when it's all said and done, there's a perception out there that we have oodles and oodles of players, but the reality is in trying to field senior, Premier Intermediate and Junior A teams, we ran off 74 players last year. So, like, you can only do that so much, and really it's a challenge, but in the interest of being compliant with what's the rules and regulations around Waterford and also nationally, then we are prepared to work with that this year to achieve that objective.
And there was a special meeting in Croke Park on Saturday about this, and in terms of, like, it's the first time in the history of the GAA in Waterford this has happened. How do you feel about this, Gerry?
Well, I suppose it's what we have to do now, and it's as simple as that. And I suppose lots of players will get it who would otherwise mightn't get the opportunity of playing at the highest level of club hurling in water. We'll now get that opportunity this year, and that's probably a good thing, you know, in relation to those particular players. And it's a nice challenge. Yeah, maybe a lot of people might feel it's not ideal, but it's where we are. And we'll just get on with it and do the best we can.
Yeah, because I was talking to some lads down in the Tallow area, Lismore area and stuff, and they're going, like, to beat Ballygunner's second team, if you want to call it that, is going to be tough. To beat the first team is going to be tough. To beat the second, like, there is a possibility, an outside chance, you'd have 2 Ballygunner teams in county semi-finals or even a final.
Well, I think
the structures are so good and the lads will be so enthusiastic. I know, as you say, players, it's all about the players, but, you know.
Yeah, well, one of the things, Damien, that really what it's going to do for us in this year in particular, like, is I mean, with that county minor team that won the county All-Ireland final this year, we have 8 players from that now to integrate into senior ranks. And I don't mean straight into the senior team, but certainly into integrate into junior and intermediate. And we have to provide a player pathway for those players as well. And it's not just a player pathway for those fellas for Ballygunner, but like that is the hope for us for the future as regards Waterford, and with a view to making sure that we can give them the best training and the best coaching that we can give them to make them better players for not only for Ballygunner but also for Waterford.
So do you think that the strength of Ballygunner is a good thing for Waterford hurling?
I do. I think that if you look at the stats, I mean, Ballygunner provide about 20% of all the players for the county senior team. I would say that there's probably a lot of people saying that it's the other way around, that it's not, that it's a weakness. But the challenge for other teams now, and I don't say this lightly, and I'm certainly not trying to be bravado about it, but like the standard that those players in Ballygunner have set themselves has to be the standard that's across the board. And I think if that model of getting to that level was followed by other clubs, I think that yes, maybe that will be it. But you never know. You don't know what's going to happen this year. Like, I mean, last year was phenomenal, but there was a couple of clubs came very close to us last year, and you never know this year. It might be their year as well.
Gerry, would you appeal also for all those players that are on the current Ballygunner senior squad not to retire, to keep going?
Well, it's up to themselves. You know, it's really up to themselves. But just to go back to the point about Ballygunner and Waterford.
Yeah.
And I'm a proud Waterford man, and I have always been. It was fantastic that Waterford won the minor championship, and we did have a number of players who were on that team, which certainly proves the point that it was good for Waterford. Going back to 2013, when Waterford won the previous minor championship, there was no Ballygunner player on it. And even going back to the 90s, when we won a lot of senior championships, Waterford competed in 3 Munster finals in a row, and there was only one Ballygunner player that played in any of those 3 finals. So it's not it's not something that has always been there, you know. But now that we're producing good players, that can only be good for the county. And isn't it fantastic that Darragh O'Sullivan and David Franks are now going to be looking after the Waterford minor team for the next 2 years? That can only be good.
A lot of things we haven't even got to, Dave. I know you've got some lovely notes there, yeah. But in a final minute, what do you have to say?
Oh, Damien, look, I'm so proud of that team. It just brings tears to my eyes every time I think about what they've achieved. And I would like to just really thank the wives, the girlfriends and the partners of those players, because they are unsung heroes in respect of this. They allow their husbands or their boyfriends or whatever the case may be to go and to be the best players they can be for Ballygunner. And that dynamic hasn't changed, because it's the young children that's coming through from Ballygunner that they see the success of these fellas. And the future is bright in Ballygunner, and it's going to remain bright as long as we keep our fingers on the pulse and make sure that we want to achieve what we want to achieve from a hurling perspective. But lastly, in respect to the whole lot of it, I said it on the homecoming and everything else. Those each and every one of those players have made them, their parents proud of them, their wives, their girlfriends, their partners, but most of all, the Ballygunner is in their blood and they're in their DNA, and that's what makes them special. And they're a special group of players. We may never see the likes of them again. Maybe we will, but they are a shining light to everything that is in Ballygunner.
Dave Sheehan, Gerry Cullinan, Gura Magwif.
Thanks, Damien.
Agus Ó Féin.